Now, these are guys that go all the way. I want to introduce you to some soldiers of the cross. Right here. Come on, ladies.
Ruth chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. Naomi loses her husbands and sons. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, his wife's name was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Malon and Kilian. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah. They went to Moab to live there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Malon and Kilian also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah.
Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them goodbye, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has turned against me." At this, they wept aloud again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her.
"Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, and the women exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" "Don't call me Naomi," she told them. "Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning.
May God bless the reading of his word, and may he bless all of you as well. Come on. Excellent job. Thank you so much. Very good. Very good. Way to go, Steve. Rock.
I've been hanging out here about 15 years now.
That was the youth group. Right? All of these ones that are up here now? Give that about 7, 10. Right? Amen to that. God does amazing things in people's lives. Is he doing amazing things in your life? Let's start with some background here. So Ruth's, I believe, only like 4 chapters. So you're already 1/4 of the way through. I would encourage you to keep on going. I've been praying with the Lord a little bit. I said, do I just want to preach right through Ruth? Or how do I want to do this? But we'll keep rolling the way we got things going at the moment. So encourage you to soap. I always encourage you to soap the passage so that you'll get more out of it and that I come prepared for what the Lord wants to do in me and through me for you and for me. Okay? So a little background there with Ruth. Ruth was from the nation of Moab. She was not originally an Israelite. And to make matters worse, the territory where she's from is a cursed nation. They were condemned because of the way they treated Israel when they were wandering around in the wilderness. Remember, Israel comes out of Egypt and they wander around for 40 years, right? Well, when in their wandering, they wandered into some different territories. And one of those territories was a Moabite territory, or the Moab territory. And the king at that time, King Balak, hired a prophet, Balaam. Some of you know the prophet because he was the prophet with the speaking donkey. Okay, maybe you know that story from the passage of the Bible. But the king of Moab tries to endure the prophet and hires the prophet and bribe the prophet to put a curse on Israel as they're wandering through his territory. It failed. He wasn't successful. He really didn't even want to even have a part of any of that. And then when that failed, the king starts to bring out and bring upon the Israelites a temptation of sexuality. So to bring them into a place of immoral behavior before their God. And because of those kind of circumstances from the king of Moab, we find in Deuteronomy that no Moabite or any of his descendants may enter the assembly of the Lord, even down to the 10th generation. So the God of the Israelites curses Moab's people, the Moabites, down for generations to come, that they shall not. Ruth was that part of the despised people of Moab, the cursed people of Moab. So how is it then that a woman from a tribe condemned by God becomes part, are you ready, of Jesus's genealogy? Perhaps 9 to 10 generations have passed. It's about that time. And when God was passing the curse, he knew what was coming. Stay out, Moab. You could say she married into it. Or did you follow the story and as it was being read? Yet if it hadn't been for Naomi, the Israelite, along with her husband who left Israel and goes into the Moab territory with her sons and they marry Moab women. If it hadn't been for Naomi's relationship with God, Ruth would have probably remained in Moab, worshiping foreign gods, belonging to a cursed nation, on the outside of God's blessing. But because of Naomi's witness, Naomi, the mother-in-law, Ruth comes into a very special relationship with God, becomes highly regarded by God. It's one thing to be highly regarded by other people. Oh, thank you so much. I love the appreciation. It's another to be highly favored and regarded. Who are you living for? See, I think if that was kind of the end of the story, if it was just chapter one, you would kind of have to name the book Naomi. I think you should name the book Naomi, because much of her life had such an impact. Would you say that your life is having any impact in the lives of others? Would you say your life has good impact or bad impact? Are you a good influence or are you a bad influence? Maybe a little of both. Are you drawing people to Christ or are you kind of pushing them away? Are you pointing people to the cross? Are you pointing them to the president? Let me just say it this way. Your life is having an impact. Your life is having an impact. It's not a question. It really is a statement. Your life has impact. Naomi's witness. Even in the midst of her affliction, her husband is dead and her two sons. Even in the midst of her affliction, her witness is strong. Naomi never doubts there is a God, but says, God is dealing with me harshly. Really, that God is sovereign. That's the statement. God is sovereign and rules her life, even in the midst of incredible suffering, even in the midst of trials, even in the midst of tragedy. God is not absent in the midst of tragedy. God is not absent in the midst of struggle. God is not absent in the midst of death. Has anybody endured any suffering in their life? Has anybody endured any suffering in their life? Well, maybe it's better put this way. Who hasn't endured some suffering in their life? See, we used to say things like, well, I come from such a dysfunctional family. So, well, who doesn't? Dysfunction is the norm. Struggles and tragedies and trials, it's a way of life among this planet. So in many ways, we can relate to Naomi on some level of suffering. Maybe her suffering's incredibly worse, but we've all suffered at some point in time. Orpah's the other in-law. So you have Naomi, the mother-in-law, lost a husband and sons. Her sons married Ruth and Orpah. Moabite women. And Orpah is a little bit different. She doesn't quite have the strength to continue on and go with Naomi. I mean, when you think about it, can you really kind of blame her? The God that you're talking about, the God that you're serving, the God that you're saying is bringing affliction, you're going back to that land you left, and you're going back there? I can see where she would go, I don't know that I want to stick it out through this trial and tribulation, and I'm not sure I want to go into the unknown. Here I'm familiar with the land, the territory, and the people. Like Ruth, perhaps Orpah became a follower of this God, like her mother-in-law became a follower, right? Her mother was a follower of God, so Orpah follows Naomi and walks in that household of the Jewish people and the Israel. Maybe her faith is attached to her husband. Once the husband's gone, I love you, mother-in-law, but I'm not going back over there. You know what they think of Moabites in Israel? I'm not going there. You can kind of grab hold of why she might do that. Think for a moment. How did you come to know the Lord? Why are you even here today? Did you grow up in a Christian household? I grew up in a Catholic household. Well, Catholics are Christians, yes. I grew up a Baptist. Well, Baptists are Christians. Yeah, you grew up in a Christian household. Or did you make a choice somewhere along the way? Did you convert to get married? People convert to get married. You step away from one faith into another faith. Maybe this is more Orpah. She converted when she got married. Or maybe the sons really weren't practicing Jews. If they had been Orthodox and very strict, would they have married a Moabite woman? They would not go unevenly yoked in that regard, right? So maybe the boys themselves have kind of, this is the territory I'm growing up in, this is my land, this is the culture, this is the people, and those, she's beautiful. Marries a Moabite woman. So maybe they're Jews, but not practicing Jews. Well, I'm Catholic, I'm just not a practicing Catholic. Well, I'm a Christian, I just don't really practice going to church much. I have my own beliefs and my own faith and my own way. Your own way makes you your own God. Maybe that's what happened. But I think that there's a stronger statement in the scripture that kind of says, don't, and this is Ruth replying to Naomi as she pleads with her daughter-in-laws, go back, stay here. Stay here in your own territory. You got your own family. Don't ask me, Ruth says, to leave you and turn back. I will go wherever you go. I will live where you live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Naomi's got a God. She's sticking with that God, staying with that God, even in the midst of trial. Orpah kind of goes back because she's not interested in that God. Ruth, your God will be my God. Ruth was a Moabite girl. Moabites are Gentiles, pagans, people who worship idols and considered sinners by the Jewish people, considered outcasts by the Jewish people, considered cursed by the Jewish people. But what made Ruth so special in God's sight? What made Ruth so special in God's sight? That one of the Old Testament books is named after her. The book of Ruth bears her name. Ruth is only one of two women that are named, books got named. Anybody tell me the other one?
Esther.
Excellent. Esther. Esther and Ruth, right? Esther's an Israelite. Ruth, pagan Gentile from a cursed nation, who makes a conversion. Who makes a conversion. Your God will be my God. Your people, my people. It's a repentance statement. Turning away from other gods. Turning away from the cursed nation. Your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. And Ruth finds, ready, the right connections to solidify and stabilize her faith with her godly mother-in-law. There's your first one. There's a right connection. You got to establish a right kind of connection. You got to get connected with people who are connected with God. Ruth must have seen something in Naomi. A right connection in line with it connects you to God and to God's people. Not just a superficial kind of a connection, but a deep, real connection. Not just I married into it. Not just I was born a Christian, I was born a Catholic, I was born this way. So that's how you are. Something much deeper. Something much more personal. Something much more spiritual. But having something like that, that's deep and real, it's scary. And it is absolutely frightening. Why? Because you become vulnerable. You open your heart to people. You bear each other's burdens, share in each other's sorrows. You rejoice together and you cry together. People will learn about you. They will learn things about you in the family. You're going to laugh together. You're going to cry together. It sounds like a family. You become a family with the right connections. Why did Ruth stick with Naomi and her mother-in-law? She could have went back. She was free to do so. And what was different between Naomi and Orpah? What was different about them? What's different about you? Here's your next slide. What's different about you from others that have superficial connections to Christ? You know, it's that time of the year where we see all the CEOs of the church, right? The CEOs, the Christmas and Easter only people. Once a year, man. Maybe twice. They're committed. Ruth was able to know the God of Israel through the living testimony of Naomi, and this newfound relationship, or this developing relationship with the true God, created a strong bond. And their relationship was more than just mother-in-law and daughter-in-law. They became members of a family, not just physical family, a spiritual family. They became the family of God. Does that mean anything to anybody anymore? The family of God. And this is the reality of the situations. Oftentimes, people have the wrong connections. They just have the wrong connections. And Bible is very stern and gives plenty of warning. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Right? Guilty by association. Right? In many ways. Right? How often was Jesus guilty by association because he associated with them sinners? Right? But Jesus didn't become a sinner to relate to them. Does that speak something to you about how you try to reach others and reach people and sacrifice and compromise and then call it for the benefit of a witness to another? People who have the right connections, they find strength and they find power to endure. People with the right connections have the bonds of friendships that carry them through difficult times, even death. People have the right connections. They find lasting spiritual bonds with each other. And they have common causes. And those common causes are bigger than themselves often. They're committed to something larger and bigger and better than themselves. People with the right connections build churches. They advance the gospel. They beat back the enemy's attacks. They initiate positive change. People that have the right connections have transformed lives, and they transform lives. They forgive one another. They pray over one another. They uphold one another. They work and they play together. And church becomes central to their daily lives. The family of God becomes central to their daily lives, not twice a year. Ruth finds the right connection with Naomi. And what about your connections? What are you finding yourself connected to? Better yet, who are you finding yourself connected to? And who can speak into this precious little mental cavity that you have that persuades your thought processes? Can the scriptures do that for you? Could a pastor challenge you in the way in which you think? Or do you want to flip the channels? The who and the what are you connected to? Just do a self-analysis. Is it healthy or destructive? Is it encouraging or discouraging? Is it your local drug dealer or your local pastor? And who do you call for a quick chat about something that's bothering you? Who might you call? Who might you even trust to speak into your life that does not have an agenda? I promise you, few. And who would they be? Who would you chat to about life and love and money? Have you ever made bad connections before? Most of us in our youth, at least that's my testimony, in my youth, I had some bad connections. I know what I was running with the wrong crowd, going to all the wrong places, doing all the wrong things. Who and what are you connected to has a tremendous influence. At some point, you have to make the choice. At some point, I had to make the choice. Do I want to stay around the negativity? Do I want to stay around the keg party and the drunk people? Or do I want something more positive in my life? Do I want something more encouraging? Or do I want something that's dark, dismal, and depressing? You make the choices every single day. I made choices every single day, often in the wrong direction, often with the wrong connections. I'm going to walk in the light. I know what it is to walk in the dark. I choose to walk in the light. I will endure with God no matter what. Will you? God has created a fairly positive environment around New Life Alliance Church. And I've discovered that a part of my ministry over the course of 30 years. Man, negativity just cannot survive around me. It just doesn't do that. It has a way of bouncing and repelling and going someplace else, being something else, and that connection isn't right. They find it not right. Why? I'm too much light. I'm too much Jesus. I'm too much positivity. I'm much too much optimistic. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to be encouraged by you. I know what you're going through is dismal and hurtful, but God is with you. No, he's not, Pastor. I'm walking away. You don't love me. You heard it all. Walked all those walks. You are walking a walk with or without God, period. He's with you in the circumstance, but do you turn away and reject? What connections are you making to good people that are encouraging? Who prays for you? Small groups, praise teams, prayer times, ladies' fellowships, men's fellowships. There's so many ways to connect into New Life Alliance Church with good people. You choose to or you choose not to. You can be here on a Sunday morning or you could be at home watching the Indianapolis Colts play football in Germany. People make choices every single day, moment by moment by moment. I know this about the Lord Jesus Christ, that he desires a strong, lasting connection with you. A strong, lasting connection with you. But have you ever felt like Naomi? Who hasn't suffered? Who hasn't suffered? We've all been there. We've all been in those kind of circumstances and situations where we felt hurt, where we felt God is distant. Don't call me blessed. I feel cursed by God. We often feel that God is silent and uncaring. He's unknowable. And basically, God's an absentee landlord. Maybe he got all this started and just walked away. Not only do people feel this way, oftentimes spiritual leaders teach this way. Jesus came to make connections. Why was there a cross? For you. To bring reassurance, to bring God's presence, to bring connection. In the midst of your struggle, in the midst of your darkness, in the midst of your wandering away, in the midst of you being far from God, he still sought you. He still pursued you. He still created a path for you to come to him. Jesus leads us, guides us, inspires us because he wants to connect with us. And because Ruth made the right connections, she was able to make and go in the right direction. Because of Jesus, I made the right connections, and I was then able to go in the right directions. I was able to walk into the light, away from the darkness, away from the fear, away from the negativity, away from the suicidal thoughts, away from the drug dependency. Because of Jesus, I changed my direction. My connection with God changed everything. Your connection with God will change everything. See, Naomi felt disconnected from God. She didn't have a Jesus. You got a Jesus who plainly says to you, I've come for you that you might have right connection with God. That's Christ. It's no other religion. It's no other denomination. It's Jesus Christ. Jesus. Jesus only. Jesus himself did that for you. If you feel a certain way, are your feelings always accurate? See, Naomi felt she was cursed and led astray. God abandoned her, which was far from the truth. It's far from the truth. That's how she felt, but it wasn't the truth. Your feelings are not always truthful and accurate, are they? You know they're not. God had set up some plans for Naomi and for Ruth that they did not even know about. I will go where you go and live where you live. This is the right direction. So you have a right connection that leads you to the right direction. That's your next slide, so that you have the right directions. Having the right connections help you go in the right direction. Naomi's heading back to Bethlehem. She's heading back to Israel. You know what that part of the territory was called? When they were all come out of Egypt and they wander around, right? They wander into Moab territory and they wander into other territories. But where are they trying to go? Come on now. They're trying to go to the promised land. They're trying to get into the promised land. Right? And they get there. They're in the promised land. But it's not everything maybe that they expected and that they wanted, because they're a little bit hungry and there's a famine in the land. We can discuss all the reasons why there's a famine in the land, but there's a famine in the land. Head of the household decides to take his family out of the promised land back to a cursed land. How'd that work out for you? How'd that work out for you? Naomi's going back to family, back to the promised land, back to where God's blessing is. The scriptures are clear. I hear that there's plenty now, back where we left from. So she's heading back there. And she's got two daughter-in-laws. One comes with her, one stays back. Ruth, your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. Where you go, I go. Ruth is now leaving the past behind and forging into something new and something in front of her. Ruth and Naomi choose the right direction and fulfill the will of God for both their lives. Choose your direction according to the will of God. Joshua, great military leader and soldier, says it this way: if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. Because you're going to have to serve somebody. Are you unwilling to serve the Lord? Then choose whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you've now possess and take over? Would you want their gods? And he says a great line, doesn't he? Some of you know it. You just can't wait to hear it. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If you're unwilling to serve the Lord, then choose who you're going to serve. But for me and for my house, we are going to serve the Lord. Anybody else with me? Anybody else with me? That's what you're talking about. You're talking about walking in the light. You're talking about walking with God. Are you willing to walk the walk? Not just talk the talk, but willing to walk the walk? The right direction doesn't promise us a way back into a beautiful garden and that you're skipping through the tulips. That's not what the promise is. There's difficulties along the way. There's struggles along the way. There's famine and along the way. Jesus promises us his abiding presence, just like God was with Naomi. Even though she felt like he wasn't, even though she felt like he was cursing her, even though she felt all these different things, even although you feel all these different things, doubts and concerns and questions, and I can't make up my mind, God is present. He promises his presence with you. His consistent presence. Obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you to the very end of the age. Jesus' words. You want to get on the road to heaven? Turn right, stay straight. You want to get on the road to heaven? Use the word of God as your GPS. You want to get on the road to heaven? Increase your focus and don't let the distractions of this world influence you and infect you. You want to get on the road to heaven? Spend some time with God and listen more and talk less. You want to get on the road to heaven? Get in connection with others that want to be on the road to heaven. Stick with the right group of people. Get in the right connections. You find yourself going in the right directions. So I want to mark this if I can. Marks, I think these are your next slides. Marks of a genuine fellowship. So how do you kind of know who your friends are? How do you know, right? So I'm going to give you a few here. One, loyalty through the tough times. They don't abandon you in the tough time. Loyalty through the tough times. Sitting on the bedside of an infant death, an overdosed kid, a divorce. How do you know you have genuine fellowship? They're consistent in their presence. They just don't hang around when it's the keg party. They're there all the time. Here's your next one. There's an unconditional acceptance. An unconditional acceptance even when you fail. That's a good word for parents. Even when they fail, do you stop loving your kids? You're there. You're consistent. This is God with you. Unconditional acceptance, even if you failed. And because you have failed, it does not make you a failure. Here's your next one. They prove compassion by action. Compassion by action. They just don't say they pray for you. They'll put their arm around you and go, "Dear Lord, help my brother Jeff today. Amen." They'll do prayer shots all day long with people. Because you know what I hear most people talking about all day long? Struggles, problems, negativity, money. People got issues, man. People got issues. You know what I like to do, which I would hope you would do in your genuine fellowship, is to encourage them, right? Compassion with action by a prayer shot, right? I think that's even your next one. Encouragement and challenge. Encouragement and challenge. Right? Compassion with action, but you encourage. So there's a challenge part there too, right? Sometimes your friends step on your toes for the betterment of you. You know, Scott, you know I'm your friend, you know I love you, but it's probably not a good thing that you keep slapping your wife. I don't know how long she's going to continue to put up with your physical crap. I'm just trying to tell you and challenge you as a man. See, it's not just encourage, it's challenge. And many people that have been hanging around this church long enough, they know they get challenged. Their toes get stepped on, particularly when their ways of thinking are not God's ways of thinking. And it challenges you. Are you thinking your thoughts or are you thinking God's thoughts? You want to go your way or do you want to go God's way? You want to go to the territory of the Moabites or do you want to go to the territory of the promised land? In genuine fellowship, is your last one. That's concerns for all of who you are. Physical, financial, emotional, and spiritual needs. All of who you are. They're just not your, you know, they're just not your buddy when you're at the bar and you're buying drinks. They're your friend in all areas of your life. This is genuine fellowship. And see, this is why it's so scary. Because people get to know you. That's why when it's deep and when it's real, it becomes personal. And so, what area of your life is God not involved in? How personal is your God? What do you not talk to him about? What do you think he doesn't know about? See, we need to be devoted in that kind of a direction towards that kind of a genuine fellowship with one another. I know it can be very tough at times when you step on people's toes and you hurt them to say, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? And I know it can be tough to say, I forgive you. But you do it anyway, because you do things God's way. You don't do things based on your feelings and feelings alone. Sometimes you have to overcome your feelings to do what God is asking of you to do. Because grace ain't easy. Mercy is tough. Compassion takes action. And what you do in all of those things, and oftentimes in the most bitter of tragedies and struggles, is you exemplify Christ more probably in those moments than you ever have before, because you create love in the midst of tragedy. You take something into a spiritual realm that has been so physically traumatizing, and you offer something spiritual. You offer hope. You take it to a different place. Your friends take you to a different place. They lead you to hope. They lead you to reassurance. They gather around you and say, we're going to do this. It's going to be okay. Pledge your allegiance to God and to his ways. You do that. Pledge allegiance to the flag. Pledge allegiance to our country. Do you pledge allegiance to your God? And pledge allegiance to each other. It's one of the strongest things that happens within a church. It's not all this way. Everybody loves the pastor. He's so wonderful. He's so wonderful. He's so great. I just love the pastors. Yeah, he's such a cool guy. When it goes this way, when those people love those people, when that guy's praying for her, then it's not like this. It's like that. It's genuine and it's real and it's strong. And it doesn't depend on anyone except Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. All right, let me move it along. Here you go. Here's your next slide. Often the biggest challenges in your life start with the smallest step in the right direction. You just got to take the steps in the right direction. Sometimes the biggest change of your life starts with one small step in the right direction. If somebody's colorblind, they're not seeing that. God doesn't care about your past. God doesn't care about your past. It's not a matter to him. It doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. It doesn't matter whether you think you're a winner or you think you're a loser. It doesn't matter really what you think. It doesn't matter if you're a beggar or a rich man, if you're black, if you're white, you're yellow, or you're red. It doesn't matter if you're male or female, or you really haven't made up your mind which you are yet. It doesn't matter. He knows all the places that you have stepped. He knows all the times that you've stepped in it. The question is, where are you going to step now? Some of you need to get to stepping. You've been standing around in it way too long. What is important to God is your decision to accept him as your God. This is what Ruth did. Your God will be my God. I want that God, Naomi. The one that you're serving. The one that you're following. The one that you're going back to. Back into the promised land. Remind me again all the good things that God has said he's going to do for his people. God waits for your decision. He's made his and put it on a cross and shed his blood. What more do you want from me? I'm waiting for you. Make a decision. Choose this day whom you will serve. I know this, he changes lives. He moves them out of the pit and out of the darkness and puts them on a pedestal and loves them. I know that. That's my testimony. You can't find that in a scripture anywhere other than this is my life. This is my biblical testimony to you. God changes lives. God transforms lives. He can rebuild your family. He can set you free from addiction. He can make you a better person. Does anybody in here not want to be a better person? Well, God's got some good news for you. He's here to guide you, help you, and lead you. And through our God, you get a brand new start each and every day. You can become what God desires for you to be. You can become a blessing to others. You can become a blessing into your community. And you can hold significance in your life. I challenge you to make your decisions today. Will you make the God of Israel your God? Will you decide like Ruth did, your God will be my God? To accept Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your yesterday. And some of you to accept Jesus Christ and forgiveness for your this morning. Many people make decisions, but they fail to make the commitment. I ask you to make the commitment. Not just the decision, but make the commitment. And your last one is a right dedication. Once you make the right dedication, is there anything dedicated like a dog? Really? Just dog them, folks. This is where all that comes from. You just love them. You just dog them. Doesn't matter what their mood. Doesn't matter what their yesterday. Doesn't matter. You just dog them. You love on them. Because they have the right connections. You guide them in the right directions as best you can. This total dedication changed the life of Ruth forever. She went back to Israel and lived a faithful life of God. She found a godly husband there, a kinsmanship redeemer. I encourage you to continue to read the story. She became a grandmother to the King David. To King David, she was the grandmother of King David. And King David was the grandfather of Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ. God honored her faith and her obedience, and he will honor yours as well. And we're reading from the book of Ruth. The only Gentile woman to receive such an honor. She's an inspiration to us all. I hope she's an inspiration to you. I'll leave you with this. In the last days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and that's why they left. Hopeless, struggle, pain, trial, tribulation, death, everything around them. That's the beginning of the first chapter. The end of the first chapter reads this way. So Naomi returned from Moab with Ruth, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. She's coming back to an abundance. Coming back to the fulfillment of all the promises. We all have seasons in life. And God is with you through each and every one of them. And God is preparing a harvest. He's preparing a banquet, a celebration. He's moving in your life and tomorrow in the ways you can't even begin to see. Stay hopeful. Stay encouraged. Keep your eyes on Christ. Let me pray for you. Father in heaven, I thank you so very much for this place, these people. And Father, I pray that here they find genuine fellowship. And Father, that here we find your presence. We find the presence of God. We find family here. We find children, just chaos and loud and chaotic and, man, messy. Yes, hallelujah, praise be to God. And Father, here we find aged saints that have been working years upon years and decades upon decades, honoring you and serving you. What an inspiration. What a household you have. What a family you have put together, Father. I pray, Father, that you continue to watch over each and every one of us. And anyone that would step upon this campus would recognize that it is sanctified and set apart for your good works. May come before you in the name of your son. Amen. God bless you. Ah, yes, Mr. Elder.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you for that message. If the ushers would prepare to take this morning's tithes and offerings, if you would come forward, please. All right, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord. May we be all about genuine fellowship. Father, would you just give us the right connections? Lead us in the right directions, Father. Bless those that earnestly seek your face. And Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to serve you. And Father, we pray for these tithes and offerings, Father. We pray that you would use them for the furtherance of your kingdom. Lord, bless the gift and the giver. And may we be all about what that is to be genuine fellowship. Bless the gift and the givers, Father. Continue to bless us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.